This is the Aspen Public Radio Newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, here with your top stories this Thursday. Some Aspen residents and city councilors suggested opening some of the bus-only lanes on Highway 82 to general traffic, but Aspen would have to get voter approval to do so. Aspen Daily News reporter Lucy Peterson has more.
The right lane on Highway 82 between Buttermilk and the Maroon Creek roundabout is only for buses. That's because of an easement the city granted to the Colorado Department of Transportation, which leases that lane to RAFTA. But some councilors and members of the Transportation Coalition for the 21st Century think that traffic from personal vehicles is too heavy during rush hour, and this might help. But the bus lanes were constructed using voter-approved Pitkin County sales taxes meant for mass transportation improvements, and the city's Home Rule Charter requires public votes to change the use of city property. Aspen is not currently considering opening the bus lanes to ease traffic as part of the entrance to Aspen reevaluation, but is still exploring ways to ease traffic into town. Lucy Peterson, Aspen Public Radio News.
Salon workers are often trusted confidants for their clients. That means they're in a unique position to notice signs of domestic violence. Aspen Public Radio's Sarah Torrey reports on a new initiative that's training those workers to identify and help clients in need.
Several states have laws on the books mandating that beauty industry professionals take free domestic abuse awareness training. Colorado doesn't, but Tiffany Bledsaw thought the training was a good idea. She's the shelter manager at Response, a Roaring Fork Valley-based nonprofit that helps victims of domestic violence.
Salon professionals are experienced listeners, right? They're personally interested in their clients, and survivors feel comfortable in, like, confiding to them.
Bledsaw offered her first training to a stylist in Basalt last week. She says the goal is to educate salon workers to recognize signs of abuse, including physical marks like bruises and bald spots, as well as behavioral signs.
So that can be client repeatedly checking their phone, the partner criticizing the client's appearance in front of them.
Bledsaw says her trainings also inform stylists about how to respond to victims in a trauma-informed way and then refer those clients to support and resources. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Sarah Torrey.
Snowmass Town Council discussed workforce housing requirements at its latest meeting. The conversation followed a winter season with low snow that reduced work hours for many employees. The town currently requires at least 27 hours per week in Snowmass Village to qualify for subsidized housing. According to the Aspen Times, some residents say they fear losing their housing. But Housing Director Kevin Reyes says the town will keep its current policy until more data are available. In statewide news, Colorado lawmakers plan to further shore up the state's election system in response to President Trump's executive order on mail ballots. Trump's order would tighten mail-in voting, requiring a barcode for ballots and for states to send ballots to a federal list of approved voters. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Benta Berkland has more.
Democratic Senator Katie Wallace says lawmakers plan to make changes to an elections bill to address parts of the Trump executive order.
Some of what has been talked about is around emergency declarations and the governor's ability to declare an emergency, similar to as we see for natural disasters, but for voting. But it would allow him to create some funding, bring together experts in the area to respond to any further federal interference. But it's nice that the federal level has shown us their cards while we're still in session and while this bill is still moving through the chambers.
The bill to modify elections would require clerks to send out mail ballots earlier and to open vote centers earlier to give people more time to vote. The vast majority of Colorado voters from all political parties choose to vote by mail.
That was Benta Berkland for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. A proposal to crack down on Coloradans who accidentally attract bears with food or trash passed its first hearing at the state capitol this week. Kyle McKinnon reports for the Colorado Capital News Alliance.
Right now, it's only illegal if someone purposefully leaves out food, trash, or other attractants like birdseed to lure a bear. The bill would let Colorado parks and wildlife penalize people, even if they didn't mean to. Instead of just giving someone a warning on a first offense, CPW could issue a citation. State Representative Katie Stewart is one of the bill's sponsors.
As the changing climate impacts their food sources, bears are coming into metro areas too. So it gives CPW a little more leeway to figure out how to manage bear human conflicts.
A first-time citation for negligently luring a bear would come with a fine of up to $200. For a third or subsequent offense, fines would be raised from $2,000 to $5,000.
That was Kyle McKinnon for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. Several Democratic candidates for statewide office spoke to voters in western Colorado Saturday at the West Slope People's Forum in Grand Junction. After one of the driest winters on record, water was a central focus. Boulder District Attorney General Michael Dotary, a candidate for attorney general, said he would fight to protect Colorado's water rights. He pointed to the Colorado River Compact, set to expire later this year, as a major challenge.
It's going to be the attorney general's responsibility to stand up against the federal government when they try to impose their solution upon Colorado. With Donald Trump in office, we can't let that happen. It's also about recognizing that the River Compact is an agreement not just for Colorado, but for the 40 million people, the tribal nations, the seven states, and Mexico that rely upon that water. And as your attorney general, I will fight to protect the water for our ranchers, farmers, and all of us throughout this great state.
Another candidate, David Seligman, also raised concerns about the compact and said he would push back on data center growth. He added that the state must rethink longstanding water policies as conditions grow drier.
Doctrines that allow for, you know, use in excess of water rights and years of excess flow, right? But some of these things just don't make sense in light of, like, the current scarcity that we're dealing with right now. This is also a monopoly problem, right? And we need to make sure that we're going after big ag in ways that it may be guzzling water that doesn't serve the interests of our broader community. It doesn't and actually undermines small ranchers and small farmers.
Former federal prosecutor Hital Doshi and Secretary of State Jenna Griswold are also in the race. The psychedelic mushroom industry is growing in Colorado. That's the result of Colorado's new law allowing psilocybin-assisted therapy at licensed healing centers in the state. Psilocybin is the compound found in some mushrooms. Rhonda DeSantis is the founder and CEO of Psilutions, which grows and manufactures psilocybin in the Vail Valley. She says the company follows strict rules to avoid contamination and ensure precision dosing.
We really want to make sure that we're moving psilocybin into the medical realm and not just something that is grown in someone's basement or in someone's garage in a tent.
Research has shown psilocybin-assisted therapy can help with problems like anxiety and depression. And in regional news, when wildland firefighters are on prescribed fires, they're breathing the same smoke and facing many of the same hazards found on wildfires. But they don't get the same hazard pay. The Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse reports that could soon change.
Resolving that disparity has been a long-standing demand of wildland firefighters. In its proposal to do just that this week, the federal government acknowledges the real dangers of prescribed fire: open flame, falling trees, unstable terrain, and significant exposure to smoke and other toxins.
The hazards of a prescribed fire are very similar to the hazards of a suppression fire.
That's Max Alonzo, Secretary Treasurer of the National Federation of Federal Employees, a union that represents many wildland firefighters. Firefighters make most of their money in the heavy summer months. Having a pay bump for prescribed firework in the off season, he says, is
really going to help them out in the wintertime. It's going to keep these career wildland firefighters around.
Comments on the proposal, which would give firefighters an extra 25% of their base pay on prescribed fires, will be accepted through June 15th. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team: News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, Sage Smiley, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.